Go to kmpr.org now and become a member. Your support pays for all our programs, including online media.
For two decades, Finn and Fiona Keegan lived in the U.S., first in New York City, then Las Vegas. The eclectic couple are interested in theater, literature, the arts. They moved here several years ago in search of an affordable, livable community, an evolving Western city where they could have a comfortable home with a safe neighborhood to raise their young boys, Piers and Glenn. But in recent months, the Keegans decided to return to their native Ireland as they continued for the idyllic place to raise their 4- and 6-year-old sons. We spoke with Finn about the changes he spotted in the first days since their return to Ireland.
Well, I must say, as I'm on the phone to you looking out the window here, I'm looking at a sheep climbing over an old stone wall. So it's very different. Now, when I looked out the window at KNPR, that's not the kind of thing I used to see. So that would be one big change.
Well, I understand you had an interesting episode with a cow sometime
that's
today.
Right. There's a laneway that runs by our house. And you have to understand, I'm a city boy. Even in Ireland, before I moved to the States, I lived in the city. So, rampaging wild animals weren't a feature. But yesterday, when I was working here in my office on the KNPR website, a cow escaped from the neighboring field and ran at high speed down the lane past our house. So, luckily, it wasn't left to me to try to corral the cow, but it was successfully brought back into its field.
Well, strangely enough, the same thing happened outside the KNPR studios today as well.
So, well, that's the Vegas cliche, I suppose.
So, as you look around Ireland, you've returned to a country, it's got a booming economy in many ways.
Yes, lots of construction. Business is booming. I think Irish people have really, cottoned on to the American free trade model. In the past, when Ireland first became independent, there was a much more protectionist philosophy. And now there's more of an entrepreneurial spirit. The government has reduced the tax burden on businesses, attracted a lot of American employers here, initially a lot of call centers. But it seems that a lot of people are starting businesses, and that when you're in towns here, that there are many small businesses and not so many chains. And I haven't seen a single big box store here. So it's everything is on a smaller scale, including business.
Now, high-tech industry from this country has moved over there. They've offshored some jobs, and that's really boosted the economy as well.
Yes, Dell had a big operation here near Dublin that moved here in the 90s, and there have been American companies, pharmaceuticals as well, that have based operations here. And it helps a lot that the workforce, is English-speaking, and that the government has very aggressively courted foreign investment.
Well, and also I would imagine much, as is the case with India and the time difference and how that complements our work life here in this country, I would imagine the time difference between Ireland and the U.S. Helps out as well.
Yes, it plays in our favor a little bit. Irish people don't bounce out of bed so successfully in the mornings as Americans. So the fact that it's later here might help. It's 8 o'clock in the evening here as I speak. We're 8 hours ahead of Las Vegas. And it's still daylight. It's bright. Because we're further north, the day lasts quite a bit longer. It can be, there could be light in the sky until 10 or 11 p.m. in the summers.
You're also seeing many more immigrants in Ireland.
Yes, many, many more immigrants. When I left here, really everybody here was Irish. Foreigners would be here on assignment or as tourists. But at this point, almost 1 in 10 of Southern Ireland's over 4 million residents are now foreign nationals. That really is a huge change for a country that was pretty much entirely native-born until about 10 years ago.
On top of that, you've got something of a burgeoning environmental movement.
That's right. It's something that really struck me is that environmentalism, an interest in organic food, and in fair trade practices has very much mainstream here. And just recently, the Irish electorate voted the Green Party into coalition government. So there are actually Green Party ministers in government. They cycle to work every day rather than take a car, although I believe a ministerial car follows them behind them as they cycle with their documents.
There's a story in the New York Times, and I don't know if you saw this recently. Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, potentially an independent party candidate for president, has touted for a number of years now how he takes the subway to work. Turns out that his aides drive him from his home via SUV to a subway stop, and then he rides the rest of the way on the subway. So it sounds something akin to that.
Yes, it could be similar. Certainly, traffic in Dublin is such. Dublin is a medieval city. You know, it's a 21st century operation, but it's taking place within medieval infrastructure. And anytime you go to dig tunnels to install a subway system, you discover the remains of a Viking settlement. So you move at a very slow speed through these streets. So you might actually be faster cycling. It could be, you know, the expressway to get to work, in Dublin at least. But certainly in talking about how the alternative and environmentalism has gone mainstream, that sort of seems to go hand in hand with a particular desire to do business in ethical ways with overseas suppliers. So although I know many Americans, particularly among the student populations, are concerned about the origin of cheap goods in developing markets, that really has gone mainstream here. My father's town, which is maybe an hour's drive south of Dublin, is a fair trade town. So in every store you go into, there's a range of what's known as fair trade products. And the understanding is that by buying fair trade products, the farmers, the producers involved in the originating countries are getting a fair trade, a fair deal.
We're speaking with Finn Keegan, our longtime producer who recently moved to Ireland with his wife and two boys, moved back to Ireland, is his native country. He continues to be our webmaster for KNPR. And Finn, you mentioned immigration and environmentalism and two controversial issues rife with tension in many areas in this country. But you're seeing, what, more openness in Ireland at this point? And again, you've only been there for a week or so, but just in talking with people, do the Irish seem more comfortable with these concepts?
I think there's definitely a growing comfortableness with race and foreignness. I think the Irish people in the 1990s had a love affair with Europeanness. We now use European currency. So when you spend a euro here in Ireland, you could use the change in Greece or in Spain. It's the same currency. And Irish people really embraced Europeanness in the 1990s. And that has brought a lot of labor from Central and Eastern Europe to this country. And in fact, it's drawn a lot of highly educated labor. It strikes me it's a little like the labor that's drawn to New York, perhaps, where you have people with engineering degrees driving the cabs. Here you might have somebody with a medical qualification serving you coffee, and they are working hard, in some cases even studying Gaelic, to get themselves jobs and careers up the social ladder.
Well, and on top of that, of course, the British government recently removed the remainder of their troops from Northern Ireland. You've seen several years of peace in Ireland, negotiated in part via the administration of Tony Blair. How much has that all contributed to this?
Yes, it's definitely it's taken the brakes off, I suppose is what it feels like. And America, of course, was instrumental in the peace in the northern region of Ireland. Bill Clinton in particular stayed up late and is well remembered here for the great energy he brought to bear with Tony Blair and Prime Minister Ahern in Southern Ireland that they brought to bear on the negotiations. There's a sense of optimism that the violence and sectarianism between Protestant and Catholic, English and Irish is a thing of the past, that we are all Europeans, that there are opportunities and everybody can do well together. So there's a great spirit here, I must say. It's you know, very encouraging to see it, and there's a lot of signs of construction, cranes up everywhere, changes in the air.
You moved back in part. You have two boys. Piers is 6, Glenn is 4, I believe, and you and your wife grew up in Ireland, and you felt that it was a better environment to raise them in than Las Vegas, particularly the ages that the boys are at, correct?
Yes. I mean, I think we had the opportunity for a childhood, to give them a childhood in the countryside. And I think if that chance had arisen in Oregon, we'd be, you know, very, you know, interested in that too. You know, it's they're out in nature. Today we were out going around the country lanes picking up buttercups and, you know, blowing dandelions in the wind. So that's a lovely thing for children. Get them away from their PlayStations and televisions and get them out and about in nature. That seems to me something very good, an opportunity to step back in time. Also, the state education system here is very good. Education is understood as a way forward for many people. They would see education as you know, a strong stepping stone, and that is true of the immigrant populations too. In fact, the immigrant population that's coming in has a higher rate of further degrees than the indigenous population.
So that's interesting. Because that's a similar dynamic in some ways that we see in southern Nevada, southern Arizona as well. This idea that many of the newcomers have a larger percent at a larger rate, have more degrees than the people that are already here.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And education is, you know, it's not, when I grew up, certainly in Ireland, education was associated with academic attainment. But that's broadened out considerably, really. There are educational opportunities in a wide variety of sectors. And even if farming is your thing, there are educational opportunities to improve your farming practices and, you know, your efficiency and productivity as a farmer.
Now, you've been in Ireland how long?
It's been, I think, just over a week.
Just over a week. In just a week of leaving Las Vegas, leaving the U.S. and returning to Ireland, what do you miss about this region?
Well, I think I'm already, with some trepidation, looking forward to the winter here. we are spoiled for winters, or we certainly were spoiled for winters in Las Vegas. Mild winter, sitting in your shorts in the backyard in November or December. I think that experience will be a thing of the past. it's dry there, of course, now. Dry to a fault, you could say, but here it rains an awful lot. It's very green, but rain is a constant feature. It's a soft rain, but things don't stay dry for too long. Definitely miss that. The big sky, I think, is something that you miss. And like a lot of Irish people, I suppose the desert has a particular fascination. I suppose maybe because it's so different. Here things are on a smaller scale. But when you're up at Red Rock or at the Grand Canyon or traveling around southern Utah, nature just seems on a different scale altogether.
That always fascinates.
Grandeur there.
That always fascinates me out at Death Valley and certainly Valley of Fire, that the number of Europeans that visit those sites as well. I've got to ask you, because the temperature here today is about 105. What's the high in Ireland?
The high in Ireland, well, 105. The whole country would go on fire, I think, if we hit 105. I think the highs in Fahrenheit terms would reach about 60 or so.
And the low?
The low, I guess, it's mild. So I wonder, off the top of my head, it might go down to 20 or 30.
That's centigrade or Fahrenheit?
That's Fahrenheit. I suppose centigrade, zero. So. It's mild. We have the Gulf Stream, which comes from the Gulf of Mexico. And even though we're quite far north in terms of latitude, that keeps us both mild in the winter and, I think, not so hot in the summer.
Finn Keegan, before you go, there's a wonderful story. You told, I believe, your youngest boy, Glenn, about the rain before you got there, and he had something of a reaction to what he found.
He did. We arrived at the airport in Dublin, and it wasn't raining. And this was the source of some consternation. I was accused of being a liar. I had said that it rains every day, but then, of course, we had a nice spell of several days here where it didn't rain. But subsequently, it's rained cats and dogs from time to time, and they've been very happy. So they've been pulling on their Wellington boots and splashing about.
And I believe before you left, you and Fiona bought them raincoats, and they practiced wearing them?
That's right. They did try practicing. It takes a lot of practice to wear your raincoat correctly. You know?
Well, especially if you're a boy who grew up in the desert.
That's true. That's true. It's like wearing costumes for them.
KNPR web producer Finn Keegan. He and his wife, Fiona, recently moved back to their native Ireland with their two young sons in search of an idyllic setting to raise the boys. As always, thanks for spending a part of your day with us. Our producers are Rich Copeland, Carolyn Kresser, Alicia Barney, and Ian Milchrist. Brian Bayhuth is our guy up north. Noelle Navarro is our intern. I'm Dave Burns. A rebroadcast of this hour is available at our website, knpr.org.